So are we recording?
I mean, we're recording. Yeah, I guess we're recording. Yeah, sure.
Great. We'll see how this works.
Fuck's sake, Descript, I swear to God.
Hey, welcome back. Our famously shitty recording software has a brand new interface and we are spooked.
Yes.
We don't trust this thing farther than we can throw this laptop, so.
Do not trust her. She is a fugly.
Do not trust her. So you may or may not be getting this episode on Tuesday.
We'll
It'll be a surprise to all of us. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. This is like the fuck off Tuesday, because it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh God.
Where everyone's like, I'm not doing work for 3 days. I mean, I'm never doing work, so what do I know?
You are literally working to make content about not working.
Yes, completely, absolutely.
Yeah, that was cute though. I like that.
What?
I read the piece on your Substack.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Being an unemployed beauty writer. Yeah.
What's actually kind of funny is like a lot of people, not a lot of people, like a couple of people like messaged me and were like, oh, this makes me feel so much better about my schedule.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, man, some of us are lazy. It's fine. Like, do you have enough food to eat? Like, are your bills paid up? Then all right. What the fuck?
You and I are so different.
I know.
But I love
good.
It.
No,
it is,
that's
it is
good.
Good.
I wouldn't want to work with anyone like me. Nothing would get done. Are you kidding? Jesus Christ. Like, even when people are like, I want to work with you because I've seen all the stuff you've done. And I'm like, you don't want to work with me. Like, you think you do, but you don't.
Well, and now I people are afraid to reach out to me because I look so busy. And I'm like, I rarely post about work.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
post about my freelance shit. Mm-hmm. I don't post about Equinox. No. I don't, like... I barely post articles or write anymore. I'm just like, I don't know. Well, I guess it's working against me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should like A/B test it. Just start girl bossing and see what happens.
God, I only post about stuff that I like really like.
Yeah.
My friend put their friend onto our podcast last week, and they started with the last episode that we recorded last week's. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I really like Tynan's sense of like dread. And I was like, that's not a normal thing.
They really get it.
I was like, that's not a normal thing. I just had a...
Yes, it is.
No, I mean, I guess it sort of is like big picture, but I was like, I'm not usually in an existential crisis.
It's so funny.
I am, however, still in it.
Yes, as we all are.
Ew.
It's reached the point now where I'll talk to my regulars at like the cafes I go to, and I'm like, hey man, what's going on in your life? And then we just got on this like weird existential topic. Like,
I love that.
Also, like, this like one barista who I like have a semi crush on, he's just like so cute and like so nice to me. And then he was like, yeah, I'm like finishing up school. Then I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And then I was like, how old are you? And he's like, I'm 22. And I was like, never mind. Jesus Christ. And like, not to say like you looked old, but I was like, you did not give off 22 vibes. Like, right. Whoa. But like, good for you.
If you're 22, you're not allowed to be existential yet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And he's like, I'm studying psychology. I'm like, that's great. We need that.
Yeah. I need that specifically. Yeah.
The world needs this. God. But yeah, I think everybody's in an existential reflective phase, which again, not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
Mm-mm. I'm enjoying it personally.
I keep thinking... that next year I'm gonna like reach my final form. I feel like things are like sort of coming together, perhaps. I am manifesting that things are coming together in a way that like it's all gonna really check out next year and make sense.
Okay. Is there anything specific you would like to happen?
Yes and no. I think I see one outcome, but it's a little expected and a little specific. But I think I want to like just, I don't even know how to say it. I think I'm done chasing some shit that I've been chasing.
All right. I love to hear it.
And I actually said this to you, and I've said it on the show like a billion times. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just sort of like in my bag lately in a way that is good. And I would like to take that into next year and be like, this is what I do. This is what I don't do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. Sorry, that was very vague. And I'm not trying to be vague. I'm just like, I also know that like making plans never works.
Yeah, absolutely.
For as much of a planner.
It's like a joke.
Exactly.
You can make a plan and then be like, haha, this will happen maybe.
It's just like, so I feel like all the pieces are there. They're just going to come together at some point in a good way. And I think that's good.
That's why I never make plans. Or make them last minute.
For as much of a planner as I am, I am at peace with not having a plan right now.
Yeah. You are a planner.
I am a
planner. You're very type A. You're triple Virgo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I'm in my like big teehee era and I love it. Everything is just teehee to me. And honestly, it slaps.
You are in a new era in which I'm really enjoying watching. It's great.
Everything's entertainment. Everything's amusing. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I didn't really make any money this year, but like, I've been genuinely working on things I love.
So yeah.
I'm like, I don't really feel bad.
It's great.
I have enough. I'm good at managing money to the point where I can keep my lifestyle up. And if I need to scrimp here for this, that's fine. I don't care. But I'm like, I'm actually working on shit that I'm really excited about. And I feel great about it.
Your book.
My book. Allegedly a film.
Okay.
My Substack, yep. Which I'm having a lot of fun with.
Your Substack is really good. Subscribe to Sable's Substack, Hard Feelings. It's very good. She's an amazing writer.
Thanks, Tynan.
You're welcome.
Like, I can't say that, but you can say that.
I can say that. Yeah, like, every time I read something that you have written in full, I just, like, want to go back and read the next one, but I also don't want to, like, blow my load too soon and, like, read through everything and not have something to go back to, you know?
Yeah. It's, like, funny because I think about it and I'm like, I guess I've technically been doing a silly little blog since I was, like, a teenager. Mm-hmm. And, like, of course, I've deleted all the previous ones from my youth because they're embarrassing now. Oh, but, like, right. It's just, like, so funny to me that, like, as much as people grow and change, I'm like, I still like doing this stupid little thing. Like, mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, did we talk about what we're doing for Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
You're not doing
it. I'm not doing anything. No. I might go to a Friendsgiving.
I might also go to a Friendsgiving. I might also have dinner. Well, I usually have dinner with my parents because they live in Queens. I have no excuse.
Right.
But it gets, like, smaller and smaller every year. To the point where, like, the past 2 years, it's literally just been my parents and my grandma, who they live with.
That's cute. I obviously feel, like, enormous guilt not going home, but I would rather just go home longer for the holiday instead of just, like, scrambling, you know, because with work right now, I can't really avoid flying on the busiest days just for a quick turnaround. Yeah. And I'm lucky that I recently saw my parents. So it's like, I feel like that can tide us over until the holiday and we can really fuck off then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be fine. Yeah.
I feel like they should, like, you know how they made Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day? Mm-hmm. I feel like they should do a similar thing for Thanksgiving.
It's sort of to that point, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm like, guys, this is fiction. Come on. Like,
right.
This is built in a lie, but we all like the turkey and the Black Friday sales and whatever.
Right. Do you have your eye on anything for Black Friday?
Kind of, but they're all, like, stupid.
Yeah.
And they're, like, things I don't really need, but things that I'm like, ooh, maybe if I plan for buying it this time, they'll have a sale.
Yeah.
It's like, I want, like, stupid little trinkets.
Sure.
There's this one, like, Instagram account that's been aggressively targeting me, and they're winning. it's just, like, some, like, independent jewelry brand that does these really beautiful, like, cultured pearl jewelry.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, amorphous and blobby cultured pearls are.
Oh, sure.
Or Baroque pearls, I think they're called. But they're not, like, crazy expensive. Everything's between, like, $100 and $200. Oh, but, like, I was like, if I could get a discount on that, that would be sick because I don't need fucking pearls.
Right.
I don't need that in my life.
Right.
I don't really need anything in my life, but
that's great.
It's nice to have trinkets.
I'm really practical about Black Friday. Like, anything that I buy, especially plan on buying, it's not fun. It's like protein powder. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, no, literally. It's just like shit that, like,
I should re-up on Revitalash.
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm running out of that. A little tube of that lasts me, like, years. It's probably expired, but, like, that shit fucking works.
Yeah.
Girlies, if you're trying to grow out your lashes, Revitalash.
Love that.
Sponsor us, Revitalash.
I would take a sponsorship from Revitalash.
Yeah.
Sable and I this week went to...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we went to the preview of the Mugler exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum. Mm-hmm. We were lucky to be invited by the brand. And... like, we both knew what we were getting into.
I did and I didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't realize it'd be that extra.
All of it was that extra.
Yeah.
It was at the Brooklyn Museum. Mugler
it's
has
Tuesday night.
A Tuesday night. It was their own huge exhibit.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's really, really astounding.
Yeah.
You, if you're in New York or you're coming to New York, you should definitely take the time to go. It's very worth it.
Yeah.
It's sort of akin to the Met costume exhibit every year in the way that it's huge, extravagant, it's very worth your time. But
if you like fashion.
Yeah. Or even if you don't, honestly. Because Mugler is so nuts that, like, you're not looking at dresses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're looking at, like, art pieces.
Yeah. Years ago when I went to the Alexander McQueen exhibit at the Met.
Yeah.
And I'm vaguely interested in clothing and style, but I'm not, like, a fashion girl.
Yeah.
But even that was, like, breathtaking.
Totally. The Mugler one is stunning. The event, the preview.
Oh my god.
Damn.
It was like I felt like I was in Gossip Girl and also a Tim Burton film.
I felt like I was being scouted for the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And I would have joined, to be clear.
People showed up in, like, full regalia. Like, it was like Hunger Games, Capital City shit.
Okay, so like I know that we love hyperbole on the show, but think of what she just said and times it by four.
Yeah,
like it was the Met Gala for civilians, and like people on Instagram with 20,000 followers.
People's outfits had like wingspans. It was like hitting other people.
Gigantic butterflies on faces. Yes. There were
pleasers everywhere.
a lot of fully exposed asses.
Oh yeah, a lot of butts.
A lot of people really went off. That I can't say that I was fully expecting. I expected a shoulder pad here and there.
Me too. Yeah, I didn't realize it was like a costume thing. But I also noticed that those types of people had like other people trailing them with cameras or just like recording them constantly on their phones. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, you're maybe a person who does content or something.
Yeah, there were a lot of respectfully C-listers there. There were...
I never knew who anybody is. So.
I mean, if you're not a pop star with a ponytail, I don't know who you are, but I did see some actors from like this hot from American Horror Story /
really?
West Side Story on Broadway, a couple of very famous drag queens, a couple housewives.
I really don't know who anybody is.
Kylie Jenner was there. More importantly, Tinashe was there. We have to stand.
Julia Fox was there.
Linux was there.
The injections in that room.
The injectables.
Woo! Woo! Float the Titanic.
But they had an angel room.
Yes.
No, they had a fragrance room.
Yeah.
Which sort of culminated in an angel.
There was like a dedicated angel area.
Yes. You walked through the fragrance room first, and then you sort of walked into a larger room which had an angel focus.
Or was it
dedicated?
It was a dedicated, yeah. They had like all the prototypes of the bottles, which is neat, like the sketches. They had this cool thing where they took all the little itty bitty splash bottles and suspended them from the ceiling like stars, which I thought was awesome.
In front of what was a take on like the Virgin Mary as done by Terry Mugler for Angel.
Yeah, it was
which
so
of
cool.
course is like my next tattoo essentially.
It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. The whole thing is gorgeous. Go if you can.
I know. I'm like, how do I get like 50 splash bottles to like make an installation in my house?
You just like Catwoman that shit.
Yeah. They're like little jewels.
I do so want to go back when it's not full of queers on ketamine. but the reception, I'm sorry, the exhibit was on the fifth floor, and then there was a little cocktail on three.
Yeah.
And it was funny because like the only other time I've been in this room is recently when I saw the symphony there.
Yeah.
And then had a seat.
Oh, it's
at
like
dinner.
That big atrium room.
Yeah.
With all the squares on the floor.
Right. Yeah. So last time I was there, it was a very chill situation.
Yeah.
Not that I was expecting that again, but we walk in and it's just full of people.
Yeah.
Full of these people. Yeah. And pole dancers.
There's like pole dancers and like girls just like voguing in spandex.
They were dancing by poles, but there was no pole dancing.
They weren't on the. I think at some point there was pole dancing. We just weren't there.
They were. It was all very cool.
Yeah.
But by that point,
eyes wide shut.
I was just like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah. I don't like getting stressed out, and I don't even mind crowds. But I was just like, my friend was like, "Do you want to get a drink?" And I was like, "I want to get the fuck out of here." Like, so
I do mind crowds.
We did.
But I was like, all right, I came, I saw, I can leave. Like, the end. That's fine. There were no snacks here. Goodbye.
Had there been snacks, we would have all stayed longer.
I absolutely, 100%.
But let's be honest, that crowd is not snacking.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, nobody's eating here.
Yeah. I mean, if my ass was out, I wouldn't be eating either. But. Yeah.
But I do wish that the fragrance room, there was like a little bit more to it. Like, they had like the bottles of all the different perfumes in little glass cases. And something that looked, these like cylinders that looked like they were like little smell stations.
They looked like, they looked like air purifiers, but the way that they were positioned under the bottles, it looked like they were supposed to do something.
You were supposed to smell them.
Yeah.
And there was like a little vent hole at the top of them. So I was like dipping my head down like that fucking water drinking bird to like smell them. And I couldn't really smell anything. It was just like so faint. So I was like, I don't know, maybe it's not prepared yet. It's not ready.
Yeah.
And then this woman next to me was also doing it. And then I was like, do you smell anything? Because I don't really get a sense. And then she was like, oh my God, yes. And I'm like, oh, you're on drugs.
Like, bitch, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. And I was like, I'm not good at it.
Exactly. Yeah. I was watching other people smell them and they didn't seem to be reacting. So I was like, I don't think anybody can smell those.
A few things. It could be that they just weren't ready or functioning or potent enough because it was just the preview.
Yeah.
I guess that was the only thing. Oh, also, I don't know, like, having all those things, if they were somehow scent stations having all those scents at the same place, I wonder how close you had to get. I don't know,
a little like a bell jar situation would have been,
but then again though
contained.
even I can't imagine having a sampling of Terry Mugler fragrances in an enclosed room going positively in any sense. You know what I mean? I would almost have rather had just had Angel in the room and the bottles and not some, like, I don't know, 40 Terry Mugler scents.
I feel like, how can you have a perfume room and not smell it? That's crazy to me.
I know, but like those scents, you can smell them from the curb.
Yeah.
I was,
maybe when we go back, we'll be like, yeah, okay, can we smell this or not?
I was happy with the amount of perfume they had just because like I knew they'd have a perfume situation. Mm-hmm. But I was satiated with what they had. Of course, we both
doing
what
more.
We do want more. Yeah. But
or just like more visuals of like the campaigns, uh-huh, behind each fragrance, you know.
That was a big ass undertaking though, so yeah. I give them credit for what they did have.
I don't.
Okay.
You're the Brooklyn Music, come on. Like,
yeah. My one critique is that, and maybe this will be different for the public opening, which I think opens today, is that the entrance was the exit. And
oh, yeah. No, yeah, the path, uh-huh, that you walked, it was not.
Mm-mm. You sort of got to a dead end and they were like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I got to fight my way out of this bitch.
Yeah, they should have made it circular.
It was fire hazard vibes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mugler, as always.
I thought it was funny at the end that they had like goodie bags, and the only thing in the goodie bag was a 1 ounce bottle of Alien Goddess Intense.
Oh,
And I was like, that's the most random fragrance.
It's their newest one. They want people.
I know, but I was like, not even Angel? Like, seriously?
Nah, I get it. I was surprised there wasn't like a fucking vial of cocaine in there with that crowd.
If any, like a Discovery set, like, come on.
I feel though, like, I can't say this outright because frankly, I don't know, but with the Mugler flankers, they come as fast as they go, you know? So it's like, if you were doing a Discovery set, what would you discover? Angel, of course.
That's true.
And probably
that's
Alien.
True, yeah.
But
even just like the little splash, like the cute little splash bottles that are miniatures of the full size, like those are so cute. That's a nice party favor.
I know, but like, what is even still around to sample? The core.
No, they still have a lot of them. They still have a lot of them available.
Do we have a voice note?
We did get a nice one. It was pertaining to our gift guide episode.
That's fine.
But that's, we can answer it this week.
Hi, Tynan and Sable. I would love to know what you would recommend fragrance-wise for somebody who likes rose and sandalwood. I've also noticed this person responding well to bright, peppery wood scents. Thank you.
I feel like this is a Sable question first and foremost.
Okay.
I know that we both like rose, but sandalwood and pepper plus that's you. Yeah.
I don't gravitate towards rose for myself. I think it's a lovely smell, but it's not generally one I personally identify with.
That's fair.
I think it smells nice in other people.
That's fair.
My immediate thoughts, boy smells, rose load or tantrum. Tantrum is super peppery and like green and crispy. A little bit woodsy too. By Rito, Rose of No Man's Land.
Young Rose as well.
Or Young Rose.
Young Rose is a little shampooy. I do think Rose of No Man's Land is better.
Yeah.
But if they do like rose.
Yeah. They can smell both and decide.
Yeah.
Oh, Aesop Rosu. That is literally rose plus incense and woodsy Noki woods. That's really cool. That's a really just like all around great universal scent, I think. Because it's not super, super rosy to me.
What is the new Aesop scent? The newest one?
Oh, Aetus.
Aetus.
Yeah, that's super sandalwood. Ooh, that's actually really pretty.
That's a really beautiful, like light, soft wood.
Yeah, yeah. It's not overly floral, I don't think. It's more woodsy and spicy.
Mm-hmm. This profile that they mentioned is sort of giving me a lot of the scents by Saint Rose, which to be honest is a brand that I don't really like.
Okay. I've not experienced. Are they the one that's like vegan CBD stuff?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure vegan, but not CBD.
Sure.
They do a lot with just that sort of vibe, like light florals, light woods. Again, that speaks to me, I think, but it might have something in there that your friend would respond positively to.
Yeah. I think by Rosie Jane as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of her scents veer in those circles, mm-hmm, for sure. They're all named after people's names. So I've liked Jay. Oh God. It's like so weird when like perfumes are named after people names.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like I'm wearing a person.
Yeah.
I have liked James, Dylan, and Lake. I think that's the one. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. I hope that helps.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, I smell like something from one of my first introductions to oud from like 2014. Strange Love is the brand, and the scent is called Dead of Night. And I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast before, but
I don't think you did. I think the only time that you've talked about them is the one, the initial one that they sent you.
That is this one.
Oh, it's this one?
Yeah.
Oh, then go off.
Yeah, but it's still so good. Like, okay, so Strangelove, they're an independent niche perfume brand based in New York City. I think Helena Christensen is their creative director, the supermodel.
I fully, you said Helena Christensen, and I heard Helena Bonham Carter.
Honestly, it could be her vibe too. But they, I remember in like 2014, I was working at this like beauty website, and they sent over a little bottle of their first and only product, which is like a fragrance oil based on oud. The bottle was so tiny, I was like, what is this tiny little sample? And they're like, that's the full size and it's $500. So I was like, what?
Oh, was this it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that is the eau de parfum version.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, that was...
Yeah, but since then, they've expanded to like five or six fragrances. Mm. And then I mentioned them in an oud article I wrote in Allure a couple of weeks ago. And the founder reached out to me and was like, hey, we'd love to send you like our discovery set. And I was like, yeah, dude, hell yeah, send it. Mm. So I've been like reacquainting myself with their new ones. And they're all really lovely. They are all based on oud. And it's just like different takes and different contexts. But I still love the original, Dead of Night. Of all the oud scents I've smelled, it's, to me, still so singularly unique and mysterious and gothic.
Mm.
In my mind, it's like the scent of a Klimt painting. It's like so gold and abstract, but really lush and vibrant.
Mm.
And I mean, if you are familiar with the scent of oud, you understand it's like very heady, very earthy. It's pungent, but this is such a sleek, almost like a little bit effervescent take on oud. Yes, I get the earthy vibe, and it's like spicy and sharp and earthy, but it's not heavy to me. To other people, I don't know. But it just smells so chic and glamorous and goth. And like, I posted it on my IG stories this week, and I was like, it's as if it's like the scent of if the Met Gala theme was like the films of Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, because there's just like something so gothic and fantastical about it, but also like extremely chic and haute couture. And maybe that's my bias because, one of your co-founders is a supermodel. Sure. But like, I don't know. It's just like such a nice scent and so addictive. And I keep smelling my wrist. And they're not as expensive now, I think, because they have other formats. Like on the website, there's like different sizes. They still do the X-Trait oil, which is the most expensive. But they now have an eau de parfum, which is a little bit more affordable. And of the other scents in the discovery set, there's one called like Falling into Stars.
Oh, cute.
That is also, I think, a standout because it smells similar to Dead of Night, but it's like a little bit more sparkly.
It's funny that you say it's not heavy because I agree with you. Yeah. However, when I smell it on your wrist, you can't get away from it.
No.
But I didn't smell it. You sprayed it before I got here, right?
Yeah.
I didn't smell it on you until I smelled it on you. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And I mean,
it stays close to the skin. Yeah.
I often smell what Sable's wearing when I come over because she will have often just sprayed it and it hasn't really dissipated and she's like bopping around her apartment. Mm-hmm, so I sort of already know what it is or have at least smelled it. And with as strong as it smells on the skin, I am, you know, now 3 feet away from her and have been here for, for an hour and I haven't got it yet. So I think that is, to me, a strong point.
Yeah. I'm looking at the website now. I'm like, wait, they are still kind of expensive.
How much are they?
Okay, so for, I think they're all the same price. For Dead of Night, 50 milliliter parfum is $4.95.
Jesus Christ.
15 milliliter parfum is $1.95. And they have these cute little necklaces of perfume oil vials for $55, which I think is probably the cutest one, honestly. Because it's an accessory in one. Yeah, they're not cheap, but it's quality stuff. It's very concentrated. So even with the little sample tester atomizers, like I sprayed it one time on my wrist and I'm like, whoa, it lasts all day. So it does last.
Yeah.
Also to note, the perfumer that I think every scent they've worked on with him, but definitely Dead of Night, Christophe Laudamiel, same dude who made Abercrombie Fierce.
Wow.
The Range.
Wow. The Range.
Yeah. The Range. And he's like, he's kind of like a, I don't know, he has like kind of like a punk rock approach to perfumery. I remember when I interviewed him for that Abercrombie Fierce piece I wrote for Netflix, he just like went on and on and on about his whole gripes with the perfume industry and like how things are done and the artistry and how perfume isn't considered an art and it should be and stuff like that. And I was like, hell yeah, man. But like, yeah, he's like kind of a rebel, which I admire.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you think that we would all feel the way that we do about Fierce if it had had a different lifetime? Do you know what I mean? Like if it wasn't pressed into us by Abercrombie, if it was just like on a counter somewhere.
Yeah. I do think so.
I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. Context is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not bad, but it's very distinguishable.
It's not bad. I think just because it's like the context of it is so specific that you're like, it's so specific around this one toxic masculinity thing that you're like, ooh, that's the smell of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Well, it's here. After 2+ years of us standing Kaoli Vanilla, they went back to the drawing board and said, oh, you thought that was all? And gave us a new vanilla called Kaoli Vanilla Royale Sugared Patchouli.
So many names.
I know, as always.
Vanilla Royale Sugared Patchouli.
Mm-hmm. 64. And upon hearing the news, I said, number one, you better send that to me.
Yeah.
Number two, what the fuck is a sugared patchouli? Number three, why would you put, I mean, not why, I get why, but I'm like, oh God, don't ruin my vanilla with the patchouli, please.
It's not like they're replacing the vanilla.
No, I know. I know. But I was like, I'm not going to like this. You know, I think that
sounds exactly like what you would like.
Not patchouli, though.
Yeah, but like patchouli's so amorphous.
Yeah, I know, but I still, if it's in the name,
okay,
then fine. It's a hero part of the fragrance. I was not ready for it.
Okay.
I think a couple of things about this are interesting. That, you know, we are still, I believe, in the intense era, in the extreme era.
Yep.
Brands putting out flankers of their best sellers in a more intense version to get us to buy more.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. This is what this is. Mm-hmm. And that's also fine. But I like that they sort of gave it its own story and its own life, even if it is vanilla intense. Fine. Yeah. We like vanilla enough that like it deserves it. Also, I do like that if they chose to do that with any of their fragrances, it is the vanilla.
I wonder if they consider doing like a vanilla extreme or a vanilla intense, and then instead we're like, no, let's just make a whole new fragrance.
I mean, this is what that is, though. It is the intense.
But it's just like the different way of marketing.
Yeah, which I appreciate that they did. Yeah. Either way, we won. And I will say, I was a little cagey about it. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because I was like, it's going to be a patchouli bomb. It's going to be like vanilla and patchouli.
Yeah, but knowing Mona, I'm like, no, it's going to be sweet.
I know. It's so good.
Of course it is.
It's so, so good.
Of course you love it.
And a few things. It's not like a Love Don't Be Shy intense or a Cloud intense in that it smells exactly the same, just dialed up. Mm-hmm. Even though Love Don't Be Shy does allege to have a different build, which it does with more rose. This is a different fragrance, which does happen to also, I mean, all Kaoli scents are intense. So it's a different fragrance and perhaps it's more intense, perhaps it's not.
It sounds intense.
Yeah. So up top, we have vanilla orchid, jasmine, rum. In the middle, we have vanilla infusion, vanilla surabsolute, S-U-R absolute. I don't know what that means.
Vanilla on absolute?
Surabsolute.
Yeah. Sur means on in French.
Okay.
Or like on top of.
Great. Tonka bean, spicy rose, smoky leather, creme brulee.
Oh, wow.
The bottom is sugared patchouli, musk, brown sugar, amber, and royal oud.
Da damn.
So she went in.
She went in.
And yeah, I mean, the first time, I've been wearing it all week. The first time I sprayed it on.
Yeah. Wait, let me smell it on you.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That is nice.
I know. The first time I sprayed it on, it was familiar in the way that I could see it being a cousin of Kaoli Vanilla, but it had more teeth. You know what I mean?
It's like nectary. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know. There's like the creme brulee is speaking to me
It is, but it's also really spicy.
Mm.
And there is an earthy base that doesn't like come up in, it's not an earthy fragrance, but it is grounded by that sugared patchouli in a way that gives it something to cling to without spinning it out. But like, I feel and I smell the patchouli in it. But if you didn't tell me it was there,
see?
I wouldn't be like, ugh, you know what I mean? It's really good.
When I smelled it on your wrist just now, I immediately thought of Vanilla Diorama.
I hate Vanilla Diorama. It's such a letdown.
I thought it smelled great on you.
It smelled great on you,
which caused me to call it in, and it doesn't smell the same on me. So I was like, maybe it's just not for me.
Vanilla Diorama, I thought was a little one note and really light, which I was not happy with. Okay. This is not one note, nor is it light. It's not super heavy in the way that these can sometimes be, but it is. It'll cling to you.
It's quite sugary, sweet, vanilla-y.
Yeah. If you,
and spicy and warm.
If you like Kaylee Vanilla, which I'm guessing that you do, you will like this. It is different enough that I would normally say, like, don't rush out and get it. And maybe don't, but definitely rush out to smell it. Like,
yeah. I know when I call stuff in from them, they usually send me the full size. And part of me is like, just send me the little one ounce thing. Mm-hmm. I love their little 1 ounce bottles. They're so cute.
They're so cute.
It's like the perfect amount of a tester perfume.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think Callie has done it again. You've done it again, queen. raising the bar and doing it flawlessly. But yeah, I'm really happy with this. I love another vanilla moment from Callie. Uh-huh. And I think you will too.
I feel like that's going to be a super popular one.
I do too.
I almost feel like the name is doing too much. Like it's more confusing.
I think they
tried to throw in all the keywords.
I think that one, that is their new naming convention with what is it? Sugared pepper, spicy, whatever.
Yeah.
Pink diamond, sweet diamond. Ah, exactly. Yeah, sweet diamond, pink pepper. What is it?
And then like Love Fest Burning Cherry.
Love Fest Burning Cherry. I think that's their new naming convention of just like putting it all in the pot.
Maybe it's just easier to trademark.
And like, two, I think license. They had to break it apart from vanilla.
Yeah.
Because vanilla is just vanilla 71 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't shock me, but...
Wait, yeah. Vanilla Royale.
Sugared patchouli.
Jesus Christ. I know. You know what, though? There's probably like all clearance on that naming.
Yeah. To like, legal's not going to push back.
Yeah, because
exactly. They were like, anything else?
Yeah.
You'd like to throw in there?
And a number. It's like a password. You have to make a new password.
Literally. Naming products is very, very hard because getting legal clearance is almost impossible because there are no new ideas under the sun.
Yep.
So God bless Callie for just throwing it all in.
Anyway. Speaking of names, I don't know where I was going with that. This is our 99th episode, question mark? And I can't believe we've been doing this podcast for 99 episodes.
Girl, neither can I.
Like, holy shit. It's been two plus years. Bonkers. And of course, because we're us, we had to bring it back to the purest essence of how and why we wanted to do a podcast about scent and smell. And we wanted to talk about our top 100 scents of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And scents encompassing literally anything you can smell. Duh. Because it's called Smell You Later. But like 100 is a really big number. So we're breaking it up into part one, part two.
For your sake and ours.
For your sake and ours. So this isn't like a feature length film of a podcast.
Yeah. An odyssey. I have a question.
Yeah.
So when I started this list.
Yeah.
So I started the list and sent Sable the doc. So it's both of our lists, of course. But I knew that if I didn't really lean in to fragrances that are not fragrances, like fine fragrances, that I wouldn't put any in. And then the list turned out to be devoid of any perfumes.
Yeah.
Period.
I actually
as it stands right now.
Yeah, as it stands. But that's only the part one, man.
We
have part two.
Do you think, I guess my question is, are we keeping it that way or are we allowed to put fragrances in?
Yeah, we can put fragrances in.
I guess we can do whatever the fuck we want.
We can do whatever we want.
Okay.
I was like a little surprised when I saw your list and I was like, oh, there's no actual fine fragrances on here.
Because I don't know. You think smells and I think perfume.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Alrighty.
I also don't know how this is going to go. We might spend a lot of time on some. We might not spend any time on some.
Some are self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I think you don't have to explain. Okay, so number one, I think we can all agree on.
I think this is too universal in a good way.
Which is why it's a great opener.
In a good way.
Coffee. Yes.
Coffee. The smell of coffee.
The smell of coffee.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
I think there's also something romantic about the smell of coffee.
Yeah.
Because I can find the romance in anything, but I do.
Coffee is romantic, especially when someone's making it for you.
Exactly. Ooh. Especially on a super cold winter day.
I know.
Ugh. Especially when someone's bringing it to you.
Yeah. My ex-boyfriend was really good at like, doing all the latte art and shit, and he would make me these like elaborate oat lattes. And I was like,
that sounds fruity to me.
It sounds fruity, but I love it. I love a guy who's a little fruity. He has to have a little, like one painted nail or like an ear, you know?
Welcome to Smell You Later.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing cuter than stomping through the street with two coffees. Do you know what I mean?
Like one for you and one for, mm-hmm. That's cute.
Yeah. Or having it look cute, but being like, no, these are actually both for me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I see somebody holding two coffees, I'm like, oh, clearly that's for somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's like seeing someone on the subway with roses.
Ooh.
You know?
For the longest time, every time I'd see a man on the subway with flowers, I'd be like, what did you do?
I so didn't want it to go there, but yes.
Or it's nice. Actually, that was just like my cynical phase. And now I'm like, I've decided that being cynical is boring. So I'm like,
this is news to me.
I know.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm like, actually, being cynical is boring.
Can
it's
you
been done.
Write about that.
Basic. I will. There's this poet whose Substack I subscribe to, Alex Dimitrov. Yeah.
Okay.
And he just writes poems on Substack. And he had one line in a poem, I forget what it was, but it said something to the effect of like, cynics are people who are afraid to be happy.
Mm.
And I was like, oh shit. Yeah. And then I thought about it more and I'm like, I don't know if they're afraid. Like, I don't know if I think that cynics are afraid of being happy, but I think cynics are distrustful of happiness. And it's like when like, yep, things go too well and you're like, something's up.
Oh, I'm fully in that era right now. Yeah. I'm in my self-sabotage era.
Yeah. And like, I was like that for so long. And now I'm just like, who cares? Like, just let things happen and take from it what's of value to you. That's it. Empty head. No thoughts.
That's a great thought.
But yeah.
That should be my key takeaway today.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what? It's fucking boring to be cynical. It's basic.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. Moving on. All that from coffee. Jesus Christ.
Me saying, we won't spend a lot of time on each of these.
Yeah.
Scent number two. Gasoline.
Gasolina.
Thank you. I want to do an episode next year. And I'm fucking talking like it's like December 31st. It's the middle of November. I want to talk to someone about why we all inherently love gasoline so much.
Yeah. And I think it's an added fragrance, so you can detect it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I know for a fact that
gas
in your house,
yeah,
they do add a fragrance to it, so you can detect it. But like petrol, like the gas that goes in your car, I do wonder. It has to be an added fragrance. Because it's like kind of like sweet.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, that's what fossil fuels smell like, really?
Who do we talk to about that? The Michelin man?
Yeah. What's his deal? How come he does restaurants and tires?
Right.
That's what I don't understand. How does the tire man also know what restaurants are good?
The L's are different, right, though?
Oh.
Yeah.
But wait, it's like the same, like, logo man. The, like, tire guy who looks like...
I don't think that's true.
I think it is.
I don't think Michelin restaurants have the tire logo man. Do you remember when you and I got invited to a Michelin restaurant by a brand and then didn't go?
Yes.
It was also in like the height of Omicron. I'm not leaving my house.
Michelin man. You know what? We're not going to look this up.
I don't think that's
I'm going on a deep dive right now, okay. But I think they're related.
Okay.
Scent number three.
The mysterious and elusive honeysuckle.
Ooh. I fucking love honeysuckle
I'm
scent.
I'm still not sure I'm clear on what
I
it is.
Know you have. I'm positive you've smelled this before. And like, I only smell it when it grows kind of like a weed on like fences and you just walk past it on a spring day and like the scent hits you. It's just like such a pleasant surprise. It's so sweet and nectary.
There's this one specific spot on the High Line that I always smell it.
So you have smelled it then?
Oh, I smell what I think honeysuckle is.
Okay.
It is what I...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like spin around, but then I realize I'm surrounded by greenery.
Yeah.
And I'm like... What one could it be?
It does grow in the wild, kind of everywhere, though.
True.
Like in the city.
Scent number five. It's been here all year.
Money.
Wait, that's not number five. It's marshmallow. Oh.
It is number five.
I am... Well, scent number four. Marshmallow. The scent that has defined my 2022.
Yeah.
Came in hot at the beginning of the year with Milk Personal from Commodity that Sable told me to try out, and I refused because I thought it would smell like skin. It does not. It is my favorite fragrance of the year. I'm obsessed with it, and I keep smelling marshmallow all around the city in many things that I love. So it's just sweet and fluffy and comforting and everything I love.
We love it.
Set number five.
Money.
Money, which famously smells like balls.
Set number six. The ocean in all of its forms.
Mostly.
The salt, the sand, the air.
The air.
The air smell of that kelpy, salty, misty breeze.
It's giving Bikini Bottom.
It's giving Bikini. Yeah.
Also, having grown up in the Midwest and like not really ever smelling the ocean except on vacation, it's funny to live here right by it. Mm-hmm. And there are sometimes, like, not around my place because I'm on the Hudson, but when I'm downtown and like closer to the ocean, question mark.
Sure.
Ish. I mean, that is correct, right? In some tertiary way.
I mean, Manhattan is an island.
Right. You do sort of get
you get that oceanic. It's sometimes like it's a little rank.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's never really good.
By the pier, like South Street Seaport, it's like a little bit rank, but you're like, open ocean, sea, the smell of the sea.
It's nice. It's nice. It's a nice reminder that you're like on a planet and not in an Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's one of the greatest, it's one of the best examples that I can think of like why smell is so important to me, because it just texturizes all of your experiences and your environments.
Yeah. Number seven.
Sunscreen. Love it.
You know it. You love it. It's instinctual.
It just makes you think of vacation.
Makes you think of vacation. I think that there's a nostalgia in sunscreen, no matter what it looks like to you, because at some point in our childhood, we've most likely probably all worn sunscreen a bunch.
Yeah, hopefully. Yikes. Incense. All kinds. Any flavor. All of them. Love it. Love it all.
Incense reminds me of church.
I know. I never really went to that type of church. What the taste of wine reminds me of church.
Oh.
Yeah. Because
that's funny.
Because I don't drink. So it's not drink, like, right. I don't have the multiple contexts of wine.
Sure.
And so the only time I've like tasted wine was in church and Sunday service, and they do the body of Christ thing. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like I'm starving because I hadn't had breakfast
the
yet.
Body of Christ.
So you get that like little wafer and you dip it in the cup and I'm like, sustenance.
Yeah. Shout out to the Eucharist.
Thank you.
What's your favorite incense fragrance?
Persons of interest, calm the fuck down. Number one, top down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's oh my God, so I had no idea.
Good. That's the best incense.
I haven't smelled. Oh, wait, no, I'm talking about fine fragrance. Sorry.
Ooh, excellent question. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I feel like when most fragrances have incense in it, it's such a small amount that it's like kind of buried in there. Mm-hmm. Mathieu Premier has an incense-based scent called Encens Suave, which is pretty good, but it's not my favorite of the bunch. I don't know, maybe I'll give it another shot. Mm-hmm. But like that's what popped into my head just because that was the first like incense forward scent I could think of. That's a fine fragrance, but there's so many that are good, but it's like I don't think it's good necessarily because of the incense in it. I think it just adds like a little bit of depth.
Sure. It's mine is the one that I always reference when talking about incense, so forgive me, but I need to have them send this to you because it is so good. It's Incense City by All Saints.
Oh, you've mentioned that before.
It's
also the Aedes one that you love.
What?
Copal.
Yeah.
That's an incense one as well.
You're right.
It's Palo Santo. Yeah.
But Copal, what? That's incense and something else,
Copal
right?
Or is it
not? That's the oceanic incense one.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not my favorite one, but it is so good.
Yeah.
Incense City smells like incense and wet concrete.
Ooh. All Saints. Okay. Are they still a brand?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
They actually just, anyway.
Or I'll just get the incense from like the Japanese supermarket. And they're like pretty cheap. It's like $3 and you get like 50 sticks of like, they call it aloes wood. And I think that means hinoki. I don't know. That's my favorite one though. I always go for it. Anyway, moving on. Number nine. Extinguished candles.
You know them. You love them.
It's so funny how many people will say like, I love the smell when you just blow out a candle.
Yeah.
Like so many people say that apropos of nothing.
And people have yet to bottle that scent, which I think is crazy. The closest I think I have seen one and it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's Imaginary Authors City on Fire.
Oh,
that they do have the extinguished candle note, which if you are interested in that, I would definitely say that is worth your time and money to go pick up. It's not literal because how would you make that literal? I mean, I would love someone to. Demeter, where are you at? But it's a really nice, like smoky, lovely scent. Yeah. And I do appreciate them bringing that story into the scent. Yeah. We're having them on soon, allegedly.
Allegedly. Ooh, number 10. Interesting pick.
Burning Leaves.
Burning Leaves.
Okay, so...
it's such a fall scent to me.
Yeah. I did bang these out in a linear fashion, and I meant to randomize that, but I didn't. So you can sort of... there are definitely some, like, through lines in this list that you will start to see. We have themes. It's giving a theme. She loves a theme. But
we're arcing. Yeah. It's an arc.
It's an arc. It's a character arc. Yes. It's my villain origin story. Burning Leaves, again... this is not, of course, specific to the Midwest, because you get it out here, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, any rural area is...
I don't think you're supposed to do it. Like, I think it releases, like, a toxic thing.
I don't think you've, like, ever been supposed to do it. Yeah, or at least it's, like, in recent... kind of illegal. Yeah.
But why does it smell so good, then?
Why? Yeah, I don't think we at Smell You Later have ever been really concerned with the law. Yeah. So, you know, just don't get caught.
Imagine going to jail for burning leaves. How lame.
Very me, though.
Yeah. Number 11.
Yes.
Concrete After Rain, which I'm told is called petrichor, or that's just like...
the ground after rain. Soil after rain.
Yeah. It could be any ground, I think. Or it might just be soil. I don't know. I'm not splitting hairs here, but we love it. Number 12.
There were a few ways that I wanted to approach.
I know. I was like, I'm going to let you.
And I wasn't quite sure how I wanted to word it, because you know how I am.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
In so many ways. I think we're different in that way.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think we are.
Number 12 is Where the Neck Meets the Collarbone.
Sexy.
Perhaps that speaks for itself.
Romantic.
It's skin and friction.
Yes. And warmth.
And warmth.
Yeah.
And yes.
I love a neck. I love a good neck.
Yes, I do too. I love a good clavicle moment.
Good clavicle moment.
You know? Okay, 13. Don't make that face.
Go off.
This is a great pick.
Go off.
Number 13 is limes. I love limes. And I will tell you why. Okay. Because limes don't get the shine that they deserve when we're talking about the way that they smell. Yes, when you think of limes, we think of like bright, tangy citrus. But when you are cutting, and this is from all of my years like as a bartender, when you talk about like the lime rind, and even sort of if you smell a lime but don't taste it, it smells warm. Yes, you'll get like the citrus, but it's like a really warm ambery citrus that I love.
Okay.
And like it's a very specific way to approach it to get the scent. Okay. And yeah, I mean, if you squeeze like half lime into your face, you're gonna get the citrus vibes. But limes smell like warm and tropical in a way that they don't get the credit for, and I'm sick of it. It ends now.
I do love a key lime pie.
We have established that I don't know what a key lime is. What? And I never will.
They're just small. The key stands for they're from the Florida Keys. It's like a regional moniker. Anyway. Okay, the next one's yours as well.
Fenty Skin Cleanser. It smells like a Baskin Robbins.
I've still never smelled it.
It's good.
Okay. Oh. Arcing on that. 15. Ice cream. Which is funny because ice cream doesn't really have a smell, but it does. Well, okay. When I saw that.
Flop. I know. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I immediately thought of when you go to an ice creamery.
That's, I think, what I mean.
And you smell the waffle cones being made. Mm-hmm. Ugh, that's so good. There was like, okay, backstory. I grew up on Long Island. I used to go camping in Montauk every summer as a kid. And there was this one Ben and Jerry's on this dock called Gossman's Dock. And it was like a mom and pop Ben and Jerry's store. And it was like the spot at night dessert after like everyone's like had their dinner after the beach. There'd be the huge fucking crowd outside this Ben and Jerry's. But the smell of the waffle cones being baked, it just emanated for like yards away from that place. And it was always really hot in there, even though it was a summer, which like sucked. You had to like put your order and then run away because it was so hot in there.
That's funny.
I think just because the waffle cones being baked or something, but just that smell, I associate that with ice cream because ice cream itself doesn't
have a smell. But an ice cream location has a smell that I think is waffle cones, but also milkshakes.
Milkshakes. Just like the sweet vanilla-y, creamy scent of it. Yeah.
Okay, continuing this arc. But this could be anyway. Coconut. Mm. I love coconut.
Yeah.
I love a fake synthetic coconut. I love a real coconut. Being severely lactose intolerant, I cook with a lot of coconut because it's like a dairy alternative.
Yeah.
It's always really good.
Wait, so you cook with coconut milk?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I always associate that with like Thai food.
Well, you can do like a really mean like spicy vodka sauce with it.
Oh shit.
Because it's not sweet enough to, you can cut the sweetness easily. And but the body of it gives you like the dairy,
the texture.
Yeah, the texture.
The creaminess.
Exactly.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm gonna try that.
I put coconut in everything. Like soups and shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Ooh, I will try that.
Little tip for you, girls.
Coconut tip.
Number 17.
Oh, I love this.
Lip gloss.
Lip gloss. Okay, were you thinking of any specific lip gloss scent?
No, I wasn't. I was sort of thinking of like lip gloss from the 90s where it was just sort of like generic.
I have this memory seared into my brain from teenagehood when I would shoplift at Sephora, and I shoplifted a bunch of Benefit lip glosses.
Good, fuck
and
Benefit.
I know you hate them, whatever. I don't even know if they make these lip glosses anymore. They probably don't, but like it was like a vanilla, just like a vanilla scent. Mm-hmm. And I fucking love that scent so much.
Yeah. If you're going to use Benefit, you should steal it.
Yeah.
Number 18. This is brand specific. A MAC lipstick.
They have a specific scent.
They do. How would you describe it? Because I don't know how.
I think it's a little vanilla-y. I think that's like, how they describe it as well.
I think it's like vanilla powder.
Yeah.
And a tiny bit of rose. But I think that's also just how I interpret powder.
Maybe. Yeah.
I love the smell of MAC lipsticks.
Mm. I know they're known for that as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Have they bottled that? Because they do their own fragrances.
I don't know. Whatever happened to those fragrances? They were kind of cool. They were a limited edition.
Yeah.
I remembered being sent the whole set when I was at Exovane at the office. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was like, these are gross. And now I'm sad that I don't have them.
Those MAC mailers used to go off.
Dude. Yeah. Miss it.
Back when Esther had money.
Well, they don't know. They spent it all on Tom Ford.
Yeah, literally. $3 billion.
Have all our money.
The Estee Lauder buying a fashion brand. That's going to go poorly.
Why not?
They're idiots.
Why not?
Number 19. American Crew hair product.
That's so specific.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you know the smell?
I think I do. Okay. And it just smells like boyfriends to me. That's like the boyfriend smell.
Yeah.
Like generic boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is nice though. Yeah. Oh, number 20, Lilies.
Lilies. I'm trying to like grab the scent of Lilies in my brain. I know I've smelt it before, but I just can't pinpoint it in my brain.
Christ the Lord has risen today.
But I will take your word for it.
Number 21.
No.
It's almost time. I sound like Mariah Carey. Gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
I was trying to think of like, I'm gesturing madly, like baking.
Yeah.
Capital B baking. And I guess it's gingerbread to me.
Gingerbread. I like kind of lump in gingerbread with like chai and spices.
Well, don't go too far because that's on the list too.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes. God forbid.
Goes into the next one. Pumpkin spice. Which doesn't even have pumpkin in it, but I get it. It's the spice for the pumpkin. I love that shit. I don't fucking care.
Exactly. We are a pro pumpkin spice podcast.
Yeah.
Number 23, dive bars.
Dive bars. What about the dive bars to you? Because maybe we have different ideas of what that smells like.
Okay, so picture this. It's dark. It's dingy. Yep. It's dirty. Yep. And it's gross.
Yep. This place has everything.
The floors are only taken care of once a night, if that. There's beer over everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's just this really disgusting recycling bin smell.
Yeah.
It's like sour beer.
Yes.
Liquor. Uh-huh. It's actually really disgusting.
It's rank.
It's that. It's someone somewhere has vomited and it's not been attended to. No. It's Fireball whiskey or whatever like the syrupy shot is of the month. It's all of that.
See, like when I think of dive bars, it always smells like beer-soaked floorboards. Always.
Yeah.
It's always like a little bit more humid in the bar than it is outside.
Yeah. And like you said, always, the floors are always sticky.
Always sticky. And it kind of takes on that like wet wool smell, especially if you go on a night it's raining and then everyone's coats are a little damp. And then you just get like the body heat and the humidity. So it's like not a good smell, but it's like such a specific smell that's like, I'm out. Here I am, out on the town, being perceived by whom? Guess we'll find out.
I was, I attended a dive bar in the last year, and my friend I was with was like, "It smells like puke in here. I'm so embarrassed. I took you here. I'm so sorry." And I was like, "I love it." Number 24, beer. I love the smell of beer.
Really? Okay, yeah, that's a you again.
Yeah,
I can't really drink drink. Well, I can't drink at all. And if I did, I don't think I would drink liquid bread, but...
I love beer.
I've tasted beer several times, several types of beer, and I'm always like, this?
No, okay, that's
this is what
fair.
You love.
I will not debate that. Okay. I will, I
any
see
any type
too.
Of beer, like from a Guinness to an IPA to whatever the fuck, like yeah. a cider, I'm just, every fucking time, I'm like, it's like Goldilocks. I'm like, this?
That's valid.
Yeah.
I enjoy a beverage every now and again.
Yeah.
But oftentimes when I like pull out of it, just like big picture, I'm like, this is gross.
It's not good, dude.
I drink so much straight whiskey and I'm like, this is not good.
No, whiskey, I can see why people like it.
I do like
a lot of liquors, yeah. I can see why. Beer, have never seen it.
Especially, which I also like, but like shitty beer. You know what I mean? Like yeah. a Keystone or a
like
Bud
a
Light.
Pabst
like,
or some shit.
Genuinely gross.
Yeah.
Will I have 13 of them? Yeah. But. I
think
it.
Like people who can drink have the association of like, oh, it's, this is like fun mm-hmm. juice. So like they associate it with something good.
Yeah.
So your brain is like, you like this flavor.
Yep, yep, yep.
But to me, I'm just like, this makes my tummy hurt. This makes my head hurt. It tastes bad. I don't like it. Why do people do this?
Right.
But okay, like to each their own, I guess. Sure. Whatever. Going down the line.
I love talking about beer with you. 25, rye whiskey. I lied. Okay. I do love rye whiskey. And I love the
what
smell
of it. What
is
the difference between rye whiskey and just like other types of whiskey?
So there are a bunch of types of whiskey.
Right.
Bourbon is a whiskey. Scotch is a whiskey. Rye whiskey is closest to American whiskey. Whereas American whiskey is very, like, can be very metallic.
Mm.
Rye whiskey is often a bit sweeter and spicier. Also, obviously, rye is distilled from a rye grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit more palatable.
Okay.
Not even palatable. It's just a different sort of like flavor profile, forgive me, without taking it into the, you know, territory of scotch, with which tastes like socks, or, you know,
socks.
Yeah, bourbon, which tastes oftentimes even more metallic. So, I don't know.
I do like the richness of like brown liquors. And like, wait, have you ever had Fernet?
Oh, girl, I was a bartender. Yes, I've had bottles of Fernet.
I love Fernet. It reminds me actually of the flavor of this one herbal Chinese medicine that my grandma would give me.
With yes.
It. I think it's the licorice or the anise in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a very nostalgic taste memory to the taste of Fernet.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, Fernet is so good.
It's so good.
It's so herbaceous
yeah.
and it has like birch bark in it too.
Yeah.
It's is
like a little bit like absinthe-y.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Amaro, which is like just herbaceous, aromatic vibes. And you can taste it the minute you shoot it or sip it.
I like those types of liquors.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can't drink. I've mm-hmm. tasted things, but I don't really like imbibe.
You're right, though, because whereas a lot of alcohol just tastes like another version of alcohol, Fernet tastes like something.
Yes.
And a lot of it repels a lot of people too.
I know.
It's an odd flavor.
But also like the type of people it repels, I'm like, oh, so you don't like flavors? Like,
right.
What's your deal, man?
Right. When I was a bartender.
What do you got against taste?
Right. We would take copious amounts of shots of Jameson a night. Not every night, but a lot of nights, many nights. And if it wasn't Jameson, it was Fernet, depending on which bar you would go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So good.
It's so good.
I love flavor.
Welcome back to our sober podcast. Number 26. I'm so glad you brought that up. The smell of a flower shop.
I love the smell of a flower shop.
Because in the way that like ice cream shops have that recycled air smell, so do flower shops.
Yeah.
But it also pairs with it like recycled moisture in the air. Like they're always sort
of
like you
kinda
said.
Damp.
Yeah.
They're like always you a little said, humid.
Right.
Which
right.
is probably for the flowers.
Right.
I get it.
And it also smells like flowers.
It just smells like flowers.
That smells like, it smells like flowers sounded a lot more intelligent in my head.
Okay.
And then it came out and you're like, yeah.
It's a flower shop.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Also,
you can just say, I like the smell of a flower shop. Full stop.
Yeah, I'm allowed.
Yeah.
It's our podcast.
You don't have to justify it.
Number 27, the hand soap in every bathroom below 14th
Street. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Also, like, where are you? Because like, I feel like I exclusively only go to Manhattan below 14th Street if I can help it.
Yeah.
And I don't know about that, but is it a specific hand soap that you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Melon and Goat's Dark Rum.
Yes. Yes, that's what I figured. But then like when I read that, I was like, do you remember that powder soap that like it would be like a weird like hot air balloon looking soap dispenser and you'd like hit a thing up?
I know what you're talking
about.
You would
like, I don't know what you...
Yeah, verb. Yeah, because it works with liquid too, but yeah.
Yeah, so you would kind of just like with your hand, just like pop up this little pin that releases the powder into your hand.
Sure. And then
that kind of lathers, but mostly just scrubs your hands. But I used to fucking love that smell.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't know that I've ever experienced that recently.
Yeah, not recently. But I do remember it was in a lot of bathrooms in like elementary schools, like when I was a kid, which I was like, why do children get powder soap? I don't know.
I know, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, they're just going to eat it. Like, or snort it. I don't know.
Or snort it. God. Yeah. No, I feel like every restaurant that I go to that is not a bar has Mountain Goats rum hand soap.
You go to nicer places than I do.
I do not. That is not true. You say that and it is not true. That is
objectively true.
That is not true.
It is. I mean, okay, I go to a lot of restaurants in my neighborhood just because there are so many and they are really good. But a lot of times the hand soap is just like that pink shit.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my favorite place to go out is the West Village. Just because,
of course, the freaking hand soaps are fancy in the West Village.
That's right. But I'm thinking like Jeffrey's Grocery, Joseph Leonard, Dante, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. Like all the same hand soap.
One place I will say that has exceptionally nice smelling hand soap is Buna Cafe in Bushwick. It's an Ethiopian place.
Can you spell it?
Bunna.
Oh.
Buna. It's like one of the few Ethiopian places in this part of Brooklyn. You eat everything with your hands with Ethiopian food. So they're like, please wash your hands. And I don't know what the soap is, but it has this beautiful sandalwoody, like a sweet sandalwood scent. It's so nice. Yeah. And I always want to be like, where did you get this soap? Mm-hmm. You know what? Next time I go, I'll ask them.
Do it.
Yeah. Anyway, go to Bunna Cafe.
Go to Bunna.
Wash your hands. Yep. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not wrong.
Oh, this is you. Oh, no, this is me.
That's you.
But that's not what I meant.
Explain.
Number 28 is Target.
Ooh, Target has some good smells.
Not Manhattan, though. All Manhattan Targets are fake.
I don't consider, do not consider Manhattan Targets real Targets.
No.
They're like little offshoots.
Manhattan Targets are
it's a
glorified
flanker.
Bodegas.
Yep.
And they only stock one of everything.
Yep.
And I don't trust any store that you have to go up or down an escalator the minute you walk in. Get that out of here.
What about Trader Joe's?
Fuck Trader Joe's. I don't go to Trader Joe's.
Actually, I love Trader Joe's.
I accidentally got wasted and went to Trader Joe's last week.
Okay.
Wouldn't do it again.
All right. I love that place.
Guess what I walked out with?
What?
Who knows?
I think you would love it. Give it a shot.
Trader Joe's?
Give it
no,
a shot.
No, I can't do that.
It's a lot cheaper than the other places. Good quality food.
Not you
That's
selling
it.
Trader Joe's to
That's
me.
It. That's the end of list.
I'm not telling this to you. I'm telling this to the listeners. Listeners, if you don't know, in New York, you shop at Trader Joe's by going and immediately getting in line.
Yep.
Which I refuse
actually,
to do.
No. Now that there's like six of them in the city, it's calmed down a lot.
Really?
Like there's one in Williamsburg, which I go to like once a week, maybe every other week, and there's never a line.
Really?
Yeah. They also have 30 registers and they're always manned.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're anticipating a line, so they're like really good about it.
The one that I went to actually was sort of the same. It was just like a normal experience, but it was also like 9 p.m. and I was also browned out. So,
well, give it a shot.
Yes, Targets have their own specific smell, and I specifically mean the normal sprawling Targets in anywhere but this hellscape of a city.
Yes, yes, yes. Even like just the clothing department has its own smell.
Oh my God, you're
it's
right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just and I can't it's almost like a sterile type of store smell,
but it's also extremely carpety and cottony.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that's the only place where carpet comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could be wrong.
There's like the linoleum aisles, and then there's like carpet where all like merchandise is.
Right.
Why is that a thing? I don't know.
Just like made that connection.
How weird.
Number 29.
Oh, I like this
detergent when it billows out of an exhaust vent onto the sidewalk.
I do like that. You get a nice little like breath of hot air.
Yeah.
That smells like laundry.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm always like, is this good? Should I not be inhaling this? But it smells nice, so that's fine.
It's fine. It's so quick.
It's so quick.
Okay, back to number 30.
Okay.
Fake poinsettias.
Fake poinsettias.
Because.
Why fake?
Because they have that generic holiday smell, you know? And I think that's what I mean, probably. But it's like potpourri.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
You know?
Because they scent them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see where you're at.
Which bleeds into my number 31, but it was my dumbass arc. The fabric store.
I do love the smell. It's like musty, but in an exciting way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it is the holiday season, it smells like capital H holiday TM.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they like sent it with some Glade shit, but it just like has that fake holiday smell.
Well, I think it's also when all of the fake holiday flowers come in, it's a lot of that because they're always by the front the fabric stores that I grew up in.
True.
Oh my God. Me just like going through my parents. Okay. Yeah. Number 32. Bike stores. I put this on because I sort of mean shops in general because you also grew up in an automotive shop.
A body shop.
Venue.
The body yaddy yaddy shop.
Yes. The body.
But it smells like rubber, paint, like varnish. Mm-hmm. There's this like, I still don't know what it is. It's like a specific chemical and I smell it every time I walk past an auto body shop. Mm. It's like so, so sweet. And it's like some fake chemical smell, but it always reminds me of like my dad.
Okay.
Because he's an auto mechanic. But yeah. Oh, this is very specific and I've only experienced it once because I've only been to this place once, but it has been corroborated by someone who has been there twice. The bathrooms at the Nice airport specifically.
Oh.
And it's weird to say, a bathroom smells nice, but so uniquely nice that like it's like clearly an air freshener thing that just automatically sprays. And it makes sense because Nice is in the south of France, which is close to where all like the perfumery places are. It's close to Grasse, which is why I went there. But whatever like custom scent they have at the Nice airport bathroom is like such a beautiful fragrance.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know. And it's like, it's not like the bathroom is nice. It's like a fucking airport bathroom. It's very regular.
But oh,
like,
weird.
I remember when I went there on a press trip and then like one of the publicists, or I don't think she's a publicist. I think she just worked at the US distributor for that fragrance brand. We were meeting up at the airport to get shuttled to wherever we were going. And then she's like, oh, hold on, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, I just went. I'll wait for you here. And she came back. She was like, wow, that bathroom smells incredible. And I was like, I know, right? So yeah, if you ever pass through Nice, the Nice airport, please go to the bathroom and just give a whiff.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The inside of a new leather purse.
I was trying to get to leather somewhere on this list too, and I like didn't like where I landed. So this is good.
Yeah. Because I thought, and I own like a lot of vintage leather purses that I just thrift here and there. And then like some new ones that I bought, and even like leather jackets, and like leather jackets smell really nice too. Mm-hmm. I always think other people's leather jackets smell nicer than mine. Mm. Maybe that's just like a romantic thing. And actually even with friends, like platonic ones, but something about the scent of like a brand new leather purse, the inside of it is like, so intoxicating.
Okay. Let me, like this is what I was trying to put
expensive.
On. Yeah. This is what I was trying to get to. The smell of brand new leather shoes. I'm thinking specifically like dress shoes with like the hard, shiny leather. They have, and I almost like don't even love that smell because you also get like the rubber of the sole and blah, blah, blah. But like there is a specific type of leather that I think differs from the one you're talking about.
Yes. I mean, they do smell differently.
And maybe like I don't even like it as much as it scares me.
Why does it scare you?
I don't know. Dress shoes.
I don't know. Leathery smells. Okay.
This is good.
Yeah. Okay. Specifically lipstick made before 1999.
Why?
Because it all smells like that old powdery scent. And like, I mean, anyone who's listening to this who grew up pre-millennium, pre-2000, pre-Y2K, knows that the quality of makeup sucked
beforehand.
Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
Including the lipstick. But all the lipstick, I feel like, had this vintage scent of like powderiness. And to that extent, I think powder makeup had that scent too.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But and like at the time, I would like collect my mom's old tubes of lipstick that she didn't wear anymore and she didn't care for. So I would just like keep them. And then every time I opened them, just like the smell of that like powdery cosmetic scent was like so nice.
Even like old, and not even old in the way that you're talking about, but like former, like Wet n Wild lipsticks would have that same scent, you know? And Wet n Wild products are good, especially these days, but they weren't.
Yeah, they got really good.
They
now.
Weren't always, but they their old sucked. Bullets
yeah.
definitely had that same, yep. like.
It's like a plastic powder scent.
Completely.
Yeah, but it's very nostalgic.
Okay, I'm going to pause here. I think this is yours.
This is mine.
Is there a world in which we break these into two? Or do they live together in your mind?
In my mind, it's a specific combination.
Okay.
Okay. So, Old Spice and Sweat.
I'm going to let you take this one, girl.
Because, and this is like, okay, here's like a problematic thought from me. when I was younger, just a wee lass, naive to the world, I did notice that certain men had men who wore fragrance. And maybe I'm talking about the old school Old Spice, not like the fucking Swagger or Fiji, whatever the fuck they call them now.
Yeah.
Like the one in that little beige bottle.
Yeah, no, not those.
Yeah. It's like aftershave almost.
Sure.
I don't know what it was, but like certain men always had this one scent, and they were always like, you know, like I grew up in a very, I guess like kind of like a working middle class neighborhood. So it's these, you know, dudes who would like do, I don't know, like labor. And it's like specifically the smell of like a sweaty man on a hot day in a white t-shirt with like a hint of that like old spicy aftershavey scent that I was like, oh, this is what men smell like. It was like so intoxicating to me, even though I was like probably like 13 or some
That's such a deeply horny thought and statement.
I know. And in my head, and like, I didn't even fucking know what sexuality was at that age, but I was like, I like this smell.
I have an add-on to that.
Okay.
And I don't think it's cooked yet though. And I was thinking about it today in bed, about this one.
Okay.
And I was like,
the sweat, or is it more the Old Spice for you? Because I know you hate sweat. But also know you don't.
I'm not going. What?
It's like, I know you hate sweat, but also know you don't.
I just don't think I'm ready to go down this road yet. But
really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like laying there and being like, yeah, it's not today.
Okay. Maybe part two.
But I celebrate that for myself.
Okay. Ooh, I love the scent. Number 37. Burning hair or burnt hair, but the hair has like lots of product in it, like hairspray.
Yeah.
That always makes me think of like getting ready to go out.
And yes.
The flat iron is out. The curling irons are out.
You are leaving the flat iron on.
Yes. And it's just like melted hairspray smell.
Do you also tie that smell to salons?
No. I feel like salons smell more like blow dryers, which is a different type of scent.
Yep. Yeah, no, I like where you went with that. Yeah. It's not what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm like, where am I? 38. The smell of baking bread from the Polish bakeries at like 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is very specific to where I live, but when I would when I would go out to the wee hours of the night, at a certain point, like 3 or 4 a.m., maybe 3 a.m. actually, mm-hmm. all of the bakeries around like Greenpoint and Williamsburg, they would like begin baking their bread for the morning crowd because they mm-hmm. open at like fucking 7 o'clock or some shit. And the smell of the bread rising and baking, that kind of like sweet yeasty smell.
Yeah.
When you're out late at night with your friends and you're just like, at that point, we're either like going to a last location or you're going home, or you're going home with somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like that sweet smell that's like, that in my brain was always like, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to call it because the bread's baking.
Right.
But it was like such a nice ender.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. We have one more. But I'm taking back what I said about the fragrances. I think we should stick with smells. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry to spin it.
Fine. I don't care.
I also see what you put in for number 58, and it's so fucking good. I'm so mad. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to go there now. That'll mm-hmm. for next week. Okay. 39, lavender.
Lavender.
This is all you.
Well, I remember when I was like 20 or 21, I did like a summer study abroad program in London, and we were staying in a suburb outside of London, mm-hmm. Kingston upon Thames. And it was like kind of suburban almost, but there were all these people who had lavender bushes outside like the front of their houses. So every time I'd walk down the sidewalk and walk past them, it was just like the most intoxicating lavender scent. It was so lovely.
Nice.
The end. Number 40, the smell of soup. I love soup, all soups. And, you know, pho, ramen, any soup. When you smell the soup's on, it's a good fucking day.
Not the soup's on. No, I agree. I am also a soup fan. You and I have eaten a lot of soup together.
So much soup.
I love anything that I can eat with a spoon, to be honest.
Yeah, I like anything I can like. Because it's like there's liquids and solids. How fun is that?
Local woman discovers texture. Have you seen that meme going around? That's a t-shirt that says soup filled fuck machine.
Yes. Soup powered fuck machine.
I keep wanting to send it to you, but I'm like,
I screenshotted, of course.
Chill out. I love that. Number 41, hotel lobbies.
Hotel lobbies.
But not all hotel lobbies.
Most hotel. Even the bad ones. honestly, even like,
I would say almost the bad ones more than the good
yeah
ones.
Like even like almost. those like roadside airport like Motel 8s, mm-hmm. like some, I don't know, just all the smells of them.
I know, we should do a show from a hotel lobby.
Okay, I always thought,
I'm ripping off your idea.
Yeah, we should do like a smellulator in the field kind of thing, where we just stand in different hotel lobbies and assess the smell. But I don't.
Not all of them do, though, is the thing. We'd have to scout first.
No, we would have to go to hotels that we know do a scent.
Yeah.
And then we can rank them and just hang out in their lobby for like however long it takes.
Let's do an episode from like the lobby of the St. Regis.
Okay. I don't know anything about audio shit on the go.
I know.
So
it's the ambient noise that would be a problem.
Yeah.
We do it like from inside one of those kids' tents and like the lobby of the Baccarat.
Maybe the ambiance would be nice though, because it's like kind of like you're in
that's
the
true.
Place.
I mean, we're just
I don't mind
into
that.
Mics.
Totally. Yeah. I don't think that's a huge problem. It's no. just a matter of like, I don't have recording equipment to do that. So
we'll figure it out. We'll just say we're from CNN.
Exactly.
Fuck. This is a lot like mine. That's 45, but we can just take that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is sort of both of ours. I mean, these are all both of ours, but
yeah, the smell of indoor pools, because it's just like hot chlorine. I love it.
I do love the smell of chlorine.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Something about like, well, like I fucking love swimming. And when I was a kid, like if there was a pool nearby, I was like, holy shit, it's going to be an amazing day.
Yeah.
So an indoor pool, obviously like in the off season when it's not summer, like it was just such a treat because it meant you can go swimming like in another season that wasn't summer.
Yeah.
So like just the smell of the indoor pool is like just reminds me of like being so excited. Also, a lot of those like indoor pool facilities, they also would have like a locker room that had like a sauna.
Hmm.
And the smell of the sauna with like the type of wood.
Yeah.
Kind of like wood smell of a yes. sauna matched with the chlorine. It was just like, ugh, this is heaven to me.
I do love that. Also like the smell of chlorine on skin.
Yeah.
And sort of how it makes your skin feel almost mm-hmm. rubbery
mm-hmm.
and like sterile, which yeah. I suppose is the point.
That is the point. Yeah. Chlorine, we love it.
If you have a pool, invite us over.
Please invite us over. Thank you. 43. Fresh baked Madeleines or fresh baked anything. Anything you bake is going to smell amazing, even if you fuck it up.
Shout out to butter. This goes hand in hand, but they did not. Oh, I am skipping again. Yep. Number 44, new notebook paper.
Yeah, I love the smell of a fresh new notebook that I'm probably never going to write in.
I haven't seen a notebook in like 10 years.
There was a time where we would always get sent notebooks as like part of a beauty mailer.
God, that's right.
They would send Moleskins, like branded Moleskins all the time. And I would save them being like, that's a nice notebook. Mm-hmm. And I never fucking write in them.
Right.
Or like write on like the first like five pages and then like just never open it again.
If I got to page 3, it was a good day.
Yeah, I know. I still have them.
Number 45, which does go hand in hand with fresh baked anything, but I do think it's its own thing. Brown sugar.
Oh, yeah. Brown sugar is a great smell.
Because sugar itself... Sorry, we just had a technical malfunction.
Fuck.
And thought we lost the entire episode.
Fucking hell.
What a ride that would have been.
I would have sued.
I know.
Just kidding. I don't have money to litigate, but still, I would have thought really hard about it. Anyway, we left off at brown sugar.
Brown sugar. By D'Angelo.
It smells great. And it doesn't smell the same as white sugar, which doesn't really have a smell.
Okay, I can tell you're not feeling this one. Moving on. Number 46.
Okay, 46. That was yours.
Play-Doh. I mean, I don't love the smell of Play-Doh, but it is very seared into my brain because my godmother used to make Play-Doh when I was young. And so, like, the salty smell is, like, I can't shake that. We've already had this conversation, and then we lost the episode, so sorry. Sable talked about how she thinks it smells sweet.
Yeah.
I think it smells salty.
I can see the saltiness.
I'm sure that the actual manufactured Play-Doh TM, as you said, has a different scent or is scented, whereas ours was not.
Okay. I can't believe you made your own Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm.
That's very inventive.
How the hell did we do that? I have no idea. It was really easy. I remember that.
Out of?
Cornstarch? I don't know.
Oh, okay. So it's like technically edible substances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Because I know Play-Doh is non-toxic.
I fully ate it.
In case kids eat it, which they will, so they won't die.
Yeah.
It's so funny. What if there's like, this is how we decide which children will make it or not, if they're stupid enough to eat the Play-Doh?
Well, I'm still here.
Okay.
This is such a good one.
Okay, so 47. Your lover's scalp, which sounds yucky.
No, it doesn't.
Say it like that. I don't know, the word scalp is very evocative, but I am picking this from, I remember there was like an anecdote in a teen magazine that I read when I was like 16 or 17 about how if you like smell the smell of your crush or your boyfriend's like scalp, it's like a pain reliever or something. Mm-hmm. And there's like neuroscience backing this, mm-hmm. which I do agree with based on what we know about neuroscience, but there's just like such, it's such an intimate smell. Like if you just like hug someone close, yeah. and like, or just like kiss somebody on the head and got a whiff, it's the hair smell.
Yeah. Oh,
it's nice.
Like warm hair. I'm trying to like, I was going to ask like, what is it? Like, what is the smell? How would you describe
Because like
that?
On the one hand, you're like it is a type of body odor, but it's almost new. I liken it to the smell of like puppies' paws.
Yes.
Like dog paws.
Or
they all kind of smell like Frito chips. Not to say that scalps smell that way, but like, they all have this like comforting nostalgic kind of smell to them.
I think we have two different definitions of lovers.
Maybe.
Scalps. Maybe. Because mine is very much more just like similar to skin itself.
Yeah, like, it is like a skin scent, but very, with the hair.
Very neutral. Like you said,
yeah,
neutral.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a neutral body odor.
It's like warm. Stop saying body odor. Oh my God. Like warm skin and hair. I don't know.
It's just a very intimate scent. Mm-hmm. Like if you are smelling someone's scalp, like it's, you're in close quarters.
Yeah.
So that's, it's very romantic.
Oh yeah. This is also you. I know nothing about this.
The smell of expensive hardware store potting soil. Look, when you buy like soil for your plants at a fancy hardware store, mm-hmm. it's just like, it smells more expensive than regular soil.
Does it?
Kind of. It's like fancy soil. It's like, I don't know, there's like rich and textured. It's almost like a brownie crumble.
Huh.
I don't know, maybe they load it full of nutrients or something, but it just like smells nice and earthy.
Is that the shit with like the white specks in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I, as a rule, do not have plants in my home.
Oh, right.
I live in a white velvet apartment. Like that's not happening. I do have a lot of flowers in my house, but they're in a vase. They're not.
I love fresh flowers. I need to like do that more.
I'm in my flower era.
Okay. Whatever that means.
The bodega on my corner sells like these beautiful bouquets of like gorgeous flowers for like $10.
Oh, nice.
Have you ever tried to fucking buy flowers in New York from a flower shop? I spent $120, not even knowing. Yeah. And I said a small bouquet. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah.
It is kind of crazy how expensive flower shops here are. And you're right. Like a lot of the bodegas will have beautiful bouquets for like $10 to $20.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Yeah. Yeah, my coworker got really on me about not having plants. And I'm like, this is just like, isn't my journey. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I take your word for it that expensive potting soil smells nice. Different.
I have a couple plants. Like, I don't have a particularly green thumb, but like the few plants I have are there just because simply because they've survived living with me and I respect them for that. Like, I think like the oldest plant I have is like 5 years old, which for me is a long time.
Okay.
But my one money tree is thriving, so.
Which one is the money tree?
That's the tallest one.
Oh, I thought that was weed.
It does look like weed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't think you were, like, growing weed, but.
I don't think you could grow it on a windowsill.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Function. Like, I don't think it would. Like, I feel like it needs, like, special lights.
Oh, you need those, like, hydroponic lights, right?
Something like that.
That's not what they are, but yes.
Okay, yeah, but money.
We pivot to growing weed.
Money grows on trees.
Oh, also you.
Also me. Number 49, the smell of the dust warming on the radiators when the heat first gets turned on in the winter.
Because it's almost, there is like a metallic scent
it's
to
like
it.
It's like musty and metallic. Musty.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's just so cozy. I'm like, well, cozy time is here.
And it almost, and it's not how you would describe one, but it almost is like a warm scent. But that's just with what we, you know. Attached to it.
Yeah. It just always reminds me of like being cozy in the winter.
Yeah.
Which I like. Yeah.
I do like that. Cozy. What is number 50?
Oh, yeah. 50. That's all you.
I lost it. Oh, Italian restaurants.
Italian restaurants.
Do you know what I mean? Like you walk Love in it. And it's like so bread and butter and of course garlic. Onions and garlic. But then there's also like the musty old carpet and like the old stone walls, maybe, or like the wallpaper. Just, you know, everything like that. And like the entrees on the tables.
Yeah, the sauce.
Ugh.
God, everything should be family style.
Everything should be
family style. I think like all restaurants should be family. No, entrees, individual entrees? Flop. What is this? Flop.
Flop behavior.
Ugh, hate it. But when you were saying that, it reminds me of this one restaurant in Williamsburg called Bamonti's.
Bamonti's.
One of the oldest Italian restaurant establishments in Brooklyn. Oh. It's been there since probably like the 1900s.
Oh, shit.
Old school. It's like decorated in like a Venetian kind of decor.
Totally.
It's like red velvet everywhere, yeah, and like gilded stuff, like busts of like random busts.
They're always red.
They're always red. What's up with that? What's supposed to deal with red?
I don't know. Marinara.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a sauce. An homage to the sauce. But we should go. We should get a group and go.
We should go.
It's incredible. And the food is good.
Really?
Huge portions. Everything's family style.
Okay.
Love it.
Have you been to Burano also in Williamsburg?
Yeah.
I love that place.
Really good. Really good pasta. Mm-hmm. Expensive ass pasta.
I don't think it's that expensive.
It's like $26 for like a tagliatelle bolognese.
I mean, like, you can't leave the like house without spending $80 at Michael's.
It's true.
I just think it's so pretty. I just love
it. It's pretty. The food design is good.
It is so
good. It's way, way better than the other overhyped pasta places in Williamsburg.
Yeah, fuck those places. Also, yeah, you can always get a table.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Burano, I've never had to wait. Also, they do takeout, which is great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had this long-ass conversation before we lost the audio, but moral of the story.
Don't wait in line at restaurants.
Don't fight for a reservation.
No.
It's all
There's
hype.
There's a bajillion places in New York City.
Forget about Carbone and Lilia and Missy. Support the places that people aren't going or like knocking down the door to.
Yeah. Like, I like the ambiance. It's a nice experience at those places. And it's like, I've been there and I'm like, okay, cool, I did it. But like, after all the wait and all the hype, I was like, yo, you oversalt the shit out of your food.
Missy is so salty.
Insane. Insanely salty.
I fought, and I never do this, but I fought for my life for a Missy reservation for months this spring.
Yeah.
Finally got one, and I couldn't even finish my entree because it was so salty. And I love to eat.
Yeah.
I am very easy to please with food.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a picky eater. No. So I was like, yo, what's up?
I was like, well, I deserve this.
I went twice to see if it was a fluke, and it was not a fluke.
To Lilia, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, not for me.
Also, Italian food's good anywhere.
I know. I will say, Lilia, there's like a little cafe attached to it. The Italian sandwiches, real good.
Mm-hmm.
You can just like walk up to the window and get takeaway. And they call it the Italian Job Gelato.
Ooh.
It's vanilla gelato soft serve with olive oil and fennel pollen. It's so good.
Oh, that sounds really good.
So fucking good. It's like salty ice cream. It's so...
Now that I'd fuck with.
Yeah. So like, they do some things good. Apparently they love salt. So
yeah,
there's that. But don't wait in line for restaurants is the moral of the story.
Is the moral.
Yeah. God. Wow. Okay. So that was 50.
That was a fight.
That was a fight. I'm so mad at Descript. Like, I don't even remember what we said, but just because it was lost, I was like, it was gold. It was
We didn't lose that much of it. We didn't lose
that much. Yeah, it was probably trash, but...
Fine. Well,
anyway,
Lord willing, this goes up.
Jesus Christ.
That we have this episode.
Fucking hell.
Part one.
Yeah.
Of our top 100 smells.
I know. I promise there will be actual more fragrances next time.
I don't think we need to put fragrances in.
Maybe we don't. Maybe we will. Maybe
we'll see we'll see how far we get this week.
Yeah. You'll have to just wait and see.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was like, twist. All we do is talk about fragrance, and now we're never going to. Plot twist.
Well, until next week.
Until next week.
You can do a lot of things. You can follow us on Instagram. From there, you can hit the link in our bio to go to our website, where you can leave us a voice memo. You can browse and purchase our merch.
Yeah.
You can also leave us 5 stars and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, which we would love. You can follow me at Tynan Buck.
I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.